Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Kickstarter Spotlight episode. Really excited to talk about this book. The creator is someone that you know. He's been on the show before. So it's my pleasure to welcome Jason Inman back to the show. Jason, great to see you, man.
Hello, good sir. Thank you again for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. So I got a little sneak peek. Jason was nice enough to share kind of the first third to half of the book.
Yeah, you got to read the first 22 pages of the 48.
Yeah, so I read it twice. It was so good. I read it when you first sent it, and then I read it again today. And I got to tell you, man, it hit. It was even better the second time.
Oh, sweet. Thank you.
So why don't we start with you kind of giving everybody an idea of what the story is about, and we'll talk a little bit, because the campaign hasn't started as we're recording this, but when you users, when you are listeners, when you listen to this, it will have launched. So give us the elevator pitch and then let us know when it starts.
The elevator pitch of Super Best Friend is, what if the world's greatest superhero had a best friend who live streamed his every adventure and exploit? And that best friend is named Matty Moore. He runs an online channel called Super Best Friend, hence the title. And his best friend is Captain Terrific, who is the world's greatest superhero, who is very similar to a blue and red tighted man, and who we will not mention again. Well, we might, but you know. Matty Moore live streams all of his adventures. And this is the perfect example of an examination of superheroes, online fandom, YouTube, Twitch, and all those things, and all the responsibilities that would happen if those were actually live streamed activities. And this is really a story of a sidekick going from a sidekick to a full-on hero.
And as we're listening to this, it has launched, correct? People can go right now to the
Yes, link. It is at Super Best Friend Comic. .com is also all over my Twitter at Jawin, at J-A-W-I-I-N. Hopefully by the time future people are listening to this, it's fully funded and we're at like 17 stretch goals.
Yeah, because I know you have some really cool stretch goals, and we'll talk about that in a second as well. So just a reminder, everybody, if you need to pause, so you don't forget, you can pause the podcast right now. Go click on the link in the show notes. Go and get in on the ground floor and be sure you're funding this. Jason gives a high quality story and great Kickstarters. You know, we've talked about them on the show before.
I also want to say real quick to anybody who right now, and I know things are crazy out there and they're difficult, and COVID may have affected your income. I will say, any Kickstarter creator will tell you this, and I am one of these as well. A share on social media of a Kickstarter campaign is just as important as pledging to back the project. It can be just as powerful and bring new eyeballs to the project. So if you had a really rough 2020, you do not have the funds to read Super Best Friend, share it on Twitter, retweet it on Twitter or Facebook, and that can make a huge impact as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. So even if you can't help out, you can help out, you know, by monetarily, you can help out by sort of spreading the word. I know that Captain Terrific is a character that's sort of been in your back pocket for a long time. You've told previous stories with him. Did it just seem a natural extension when you came up with this idea to say, hey, I'm going to create my kind of own version of Jimmy Olsen as well? And then the rest of the story sort of fell into place from there.
Well, interestingly enough, so Captain Terrific is this Superman archetype that I've had in my back pocket for, you're right, a long time. He was originally created for a one-act play I wrote in college about superheroes. It was like a comedy. And every time I needed like a Superman archetype, I would just pull him out again, because I'd be like, oh, I got Captain Terrific. He's out here. And I used them in a couple of stories drawn by Nick Robles and co-written by Ashley Victoria Robinson. And when I was coming up with the idea for Super Best Friend, I actually came up with the idea of Matty Moore first, because I was very inspired by my time at DC All Access. And I was like, what if this person existed in like the DC Comics universe? What if this person existed in the real world? And I immediately was like, well, he needs a best friend. He needs a superhero that he's really close with. And I bandied around with a couple other concepts, but then I immediately was like, I think I just need to use Captain Terrific. I think this needs to be Captain Terrific, and this needs to be his story. Now, obviously, if you are one of the 12 people out there that have read the previous Captain Terrific stories and anthologies, those are now sort of Elseworld stories. They're out of continuity because obviously they don't work with Super Best Friend.
Yeah, and that's what I think is so interesting, because the story, at least as much as I've read it so far, it lends itself to really a whole I don't know, Inman universe, if you wanted to, you know, you're really building the foundation here.
Just wait till you read the second half, my friend.
Well, and what's so cool about it is the fact that when you look at the DC shared superhero universe, it started with Superman. Mm-hmm. So here you are with your, you know, your version. And we've talked about this, you and I have talked about this before, about how as a writer and a creator, if you come up with a great idea for, you know, a certain character and you don't own that character and may never get to write that character, don't wait, right?
Exactly, exactly. And there is a lot of inspiration of this. It's so funny because I actually wrote this story back in 2017. George started drawing it in 2018. And originally this was only going to be a comic for my Patreon. And eventually I just got to the point where I was like, I want to print this. I want to like actually make it a real comic book. And I want to see if like people will fund, because that's the main goal of the campaign is to fund. It'll be, this is issue one, 48 pages, issue one. Then it'll be issue two will be 48 pages. And then issue three will be 48 pages. So it would be three campaigns. And I wanted to put it out there and see if like people responded to it and people want are excited about it. And if so, we'll keep going on it. And I've said this on a couple other places, but like when I was working at DC for those 3.5 years, I was pitching ideas left and right to anybody that would listen to me. Now, nobody ever really went for it. So like, it wouldn't surprise me if I pitched this to somebody in the building in DC and they just didn't go for it. And it's just like, I knew this was a good idea and everybody I told about this thought it was a good idea. And so, yes, I mean, Matty Moore is definitely inspired by Jimmy Olsen, but I think Matty Moore, it's so interesting when I, especially pairing him up with Captain Terrific, they both defined each other a lot more. Like Captain Terrific now has more depth than he's ever had in previous stories. He's softer. He's more caring. He's really, in the way, somebody were to ask me how different is he from Superman? And I would say Captain Terrific is the person that will do everything he can to protect innocence, no matter the cost. He will give his life. That is his number one goal. He does not care about beating the villain. He does not care about sending people to jail. He cares about, are people hurt? And that is the cost. And he's so concerned about that so much that you'll see, Jace, you saw this in the first 22 pages. Captain Terrific is very much about not letting people help him because he's so worried about people getting hurt. He doesn't trust people. And then Matty on the other end is one of these guys that he's so enamored with the superheroes that he doesn't think he has any value. He doesn't think he has anything to contribute. And there's a scene in the first issue where even Captain Terrific is like, no, you have a lot of skills. You have a lot of talent and you're like really worth something, but Matty doesn't see it. And together, it's one of these things. This is a very long answer. I apologize, Jace. No, but this is one of those things where I kind of stole this from a lot of other stories because Matty and Terrific together are a complete person, very similar to like Sherlock and Holmes. Like separate, they're incomplete, but together they're like a fully functional person. And hopefully by the end of the story, readers will realize that both of these men have like made each other better.
Right. They've learned from each other, which is the mm-hmm. best kind of friendships. Like you and yeah. I have.
Yes, exactly.
The other thing that I got, Jason, like, well, let me ask it this way first. What was the tone of the world you were going for? And let's compare it to kind of how I read it.
Oh, that's a great question, man. I was going for innocent and it was going for very pop art kind of like an Andy Warhol, kind of like a Lichtenstein painting. It was what I was going for because as the story progresses, I want the consequences to feel more and more and more real. So I wanted to start in such a place of heart and innocence and fun because a little bit of that's going to be stripped away. A little bit of that's going to be stripped away. A little bit of that's going to be stripped away until the ending where it like really like pops back to that. Because that's what I love about superheroes. And that's what I loved about DC Comics. And that's sometimes what I think is being forgotten in the big two is that fun and that innocence that, because I would describe, people would ask me, is Super Best Friend an all ages comic? And I would say no, but I would say that you absolutely could give it to a kid.
Right.
You know, like there's nothing in it that will bump you. But I also, like, again, like, it is written for adults in mind, because there is a lot of stuff in there that I'm seeding and stuff like that. But how did you see it then? I'm very curious.
Well, yeah. And so you use that word right off the bat, innocence. And so again, mm-hmm. to go back to this idea of, you know, here's Captain Terrific, you know, your Superman analog in the first with the, and right away with the dialogue, you know, the villains are saying use guys and that kind of thing. And so I really got that kind of golden age feel, but then you're juxtaposing that with, but it's the age of social media.
Yeah.
And Matty Moore is live streaming this stuff, and he's got all these followers and they're commenting and things like that. And so right away I got the idea of, okay, these are big lessons and big themes and important things to remember. And they're relevant to, you know, your worth and what is friendship in the age of social media and those kind of things. Those are modern ideas, but you're juxtaposing it against the idea
yeah.
of this classic superhero. And I can already see the seeds planted for, as you said, an evolution of the story. So you're really borrowing from your, you know, your favorite archetype of superheroes, but you're also going to say something, which your work often does.
Oh, thank you, man. Well, yeah. And that's something too, with people that will read this book, you'll notice that the online comments are sharper and more jabbier, which is what they tend to be on online. And I also will tell you, several of those online comments, and you will see they would get rougher and rougher and rougher, are ones that I've actually received online. Personally, like there is one in the second half of the first issue where a commenter will tell Maddie where they'll be like, I hope your mother gets hit by a car, which is a real YouTube comment. Ouch. I once got.
God, that's just, I mean, I wish I could say I'm surprised, but yeah. Just people, sometimes they're the worst. You should think about maybe for a subsequent or this one, stretch goal, something where people, if you hit a certain tier or whatever, you say, hey, submit a comment to be in the,
Ooh, my friend, that is why you are a genius. I'm going to write that down right now.
Something to think about.
I will tell you this. So all of the usernames for the comments in Super Best Friend are patrons of mine.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I originally made this as a Patreon comic. Yeah. So I, like, when I was writing it, I was like just looking down my list of patrons and be like, there you go, there you go, there you go.
Well, why don't you tell us about some of the other tiers that are available? Obviously, you're going to have a print edition, a digital edition. What are some of the other ones that have you really excited?
So the great thing is that because I have a lot of work now, and a lot of that work has been funded on Kickstarter, which is so awesome. And it's why I love the site. Every backer, unless you pick no reward, which you can, and thank you very much. Every reward starting out at $5, you get a comic book. You will get a PDF of Terrific, which is the very first story I ever wrote with Captain Terrific. It's drawn by Nick Robles, who is drawing DC's The Dreaming. It's co-written by Ringo-nominated writer Ashley Victoria Robinson, who is quite lovely. And so you'll get that, and you'll get the entire first issue of Jupiter Jet. So you're getting those comics at every level. And we're also doing a cool thing. Kickstarter has this new thing now that's called flash funding. So if we get to 75% of our entire goal in the first 48 hours, I'm going to give every backer Thief, which is the second story of Captain Terrific. And then I'm going to send everybody the art file, which is the very first art file that George Kemba-Dyes drew of Matty Moore. And it's when I pitched him the idea, I sent him all the character descriptions. He sent me this art file, and it's literally the exact Matty Moore design that's in the book right now. I've never changed it. I've been very fortunate to work with a lot of great artists, because that happened with Ben Matsui on Jupiter Jet. The very first image of it was like, I don't even need to change it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you're getting that. We have two variant covers, which are really awesome and really cool. And they're all different styles, so you can kind of pick. One of them is by the regular artist. One of them is a very 90s style. And one of them is a very like Bruce Timm kind of cartoony style. So you can take your pick there. I'm also doing Skype calls. But as well, I love learning from other writers and Kickstarter people. So one of the levels is I will read your pitch, your comic book script, your screenplay, your teleplay, and I will give you notes on it. And I will say, based on what other people, charge for those type of services, I'm giving it to you as a steal, and you can like take my knowledge. I'm Ringo nominated. I've written for Honest Trailers. I've been working for the last 2 years in a CBS television writer's room. So like, there's a lot of knowledge I can give you towards that type of stuff. And then, One of the fun ones, the top reward is at the highest level, at $1,000, I will come and do a signing at a comic book shop near you. So, nice. So it's like, I'll use that excuse. I'll bring a whole pile of books. I think you get like 20 copies of Super Best Friend, and then I'll bring you a bunch of trades. And then like, I'll come out there to your comic book shop. We can talk, we can chat, and I'll do a signing at your comic book shop. But there's a lot of interesting rewards, but the main reward is the book, the issue. It's the 48-page comic book of Super Best Friend. And, early, there is of course an early bird. Like if you donate in the first 48 hours, the book is cheaper than if you donate the rest of the campaign.
Yeah, and so you're planning on doing three issues total, you said, right? No plans to release this anywhere else. It's just going to be a Kickstarter exclusive, is that right?
As of right now, this is a Kickstarter exclusive. My plans are to, because this is basically act one, is what I would call it. It's act one of, you know, the story. And I love that you sort of talked about the Inmanverse later, because Jace, you got to read, I introduced the character in page two, that is called Lady Samurai. Mm-hmm. And Lady Samurai is, what's that?
She says, I am smiling.
Yes. Lady Samurai is the Wonder Woman of this superhero team that Captain Terrific is a part of. By the way, I did that intentionally because I love that. So I love Silver Age heroes that are called Captain. Yeah. So I was intentionally want to do that. You're going to meet his superhero team called the Assembly in the first issue. And I purposely designed all of those characters, including Lady Samurai, to be spun off into their own tale. That all like kind of say something about a different aspect of superhero comic book culture. So if this campaign does super well, like I see no reason why the various stories couldn't continue after that. But for right now, it's this issue. If the Kickstarter campaign funds, yay, we get issue two. If it doesn't, then Super Best Friend goes away and I go to work on something else. But in a perfect world, I would love to run all three Kickstarters. And then I would love to do like a hardcover, because I've never had a hardcover of any of my comics. And I would love to have like a Kickstarter exclusive Super Best Friend hardcover with like a really cool cover. And I'm putting this out into the universe because I know he is no longer DC exclusive, as far as I know. It is my goal to get a Dan Jurgens Super Best Friend cover somewhere along the line.
Oh, that would be pretty cool. Yeah. And so. Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's Superman. You know, right? Dan, yeah. And you know, Dan, I'm sure we can.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to make that happen. Well, I know this is a question you get a lot. You've been, you know, really successful in your Kickstarters, both, you know, the ones that you've done and the ones you've done with Ashley. So I did want to ask this question to you, because we often covered on the Kickstarter spotlight. What's something you wish you knew going into your first ones when it was, you know, such a struggle, and now having done so many successful ones, if you could go back, you know, and tell your Ooh. Previous self, hey, this is the information you really need to know, something that maybe people don't think about or don't realize when they start their first one.
So it's so funny because there are like 15 different answers to that question, like about different things. I would say this. Number one is don't be afraid to ask for help. I waited a couple Kickstarter campaigns until I reached out to Jimmy Palmiotti and asked him to share it. And that was a big help. And he gave me a lot of great tips. And I wish I had done that in the first one. So I would say if there's as a creator, even doesn't even matter if you're not making comic books, but I would say if there's a creator out there on Kickstarter who's killing it, that you admire, you like their stuff, you're thinking about running a Kickstarter, send them a Kickstarter message. Most people will help you. I recently, about like 4 months ago, got an email from a comic book Kickstarter, and they were like, hey, would you help me out? Or would you give me some tips? And I did. Because a rising tide raises all ships. The other thing that I would suggest is fulfillment is harder than you think it is. And so when you think about the rewards and stretch rewards you want to put in, the very first Kickstarter campaign we ever did, we put a t-shirt on there. The biggest mistake we ever made, because nobody has the same size. It's all different. And like, it's insane. Like, we should have just offered it. We'd be like, you get a large or you get a medium. That's it. You know, we didn't do that because it was our first campaign, and oh man, it almost killed us. So I would say, think about your stretch rewards and think about Don't just give people merch, give them value. Like, people love stickers. Can you add pages to the book? Can you do a fourth variant cover, you know, because that helps you, you know, it doesn't really add much to like print a fourth copy of the book because you're printing an old or a mini, you know? So like, that's the thing I would say, because like, I think everybody across Kickstarter, when you start, you're all like, when you get to those stretch goals, you're like, yeah, we're going to make a statue, we're going to do an action figure, and we're going to do all this stuff. And it's very complicated. And this is a great segue, because for Super Best Friend, I haven't revealed any of the stretch goals yet, but there is a stretch goal I want to get into. And I talk about this in the Kickstarter video, but it's very expensive. So it has to be like, we have to bust through five stretch goals to get to this level. My favorite trading cards of all time are the 1996 holographic Superman cards by Skybox. Do you know what I'm talking about, Jace?
Yep.
Oh man. I only was ever able to get one pack of them, because they were so expensive that my mom would not buy me more packs. So I still have them. And I won't be able to do a hologram like that, but I desperately want to do hologram trading cards, like shiny, really cool covers of Maddie and Captain Terrific. I want those trading cards, but like, they are very pricey to produce. And so I have to like, we have to get through like, the campaign has to explode for me to not be able to afford to do that.
Well, maybe if not the first one, you know, maybe when the word gets out, yes, about how great the story is, we
can. That's hopeful too. I mean, that's the other thing too, is like the other campaigns. I mean, on issue two, I want to go a little bit crazier. I would love to do a hologram cover. I think that would be really fun.
Yeah. Then you're definitely going 90s doing something like that for sure. Getting back to the story a little bit, I want to talk a little bit about more about Maddie. You talked about it being a journey for him, basically discovering his worth. And then it seems like even going beyond that to discover that he's a hero in his own right. Is this all going to be told as far as the story structure in a linear fashion? Because, you know, we kind of start off the first story with Maddie and Captain Terrific already being best friends. Are we going to get a chance to go back and kind of see how they met? Is that going to play into the story at all?
In issue two, you're going to get a brief flashback of the first time they ever met. I will say you get to see a scene of that in the pages that I didn't give to you. So in the, like, I think around page 35 or 36, you get a brief, quick, like, oh, that's the first time they met. You'll see when you get to the end of issue one why we're going to do a flashback. So most of issue two will be like, kind of like, here is the story of how they met. And to be honest with you, my goal for that is to tell that in the style of Marvel Man.
Okay.
The Alan Moore Marvel Man from the 80s. I wanted it to be like very weird and very like surreal and in your face and kind of thing. And you know, because a lot of Super Best Friend as well, I really want to be inspired and homage from all these different periods of comic books that I love. So that's really, really what I want to do. So yeah, you will meet them, but like, a lot of this is, for me, is we don't really need to know much of their origin story. It's more important to like learn their second act or to learn their third act. You know, but Maddie is like, he's very innocent. He's very optimistic. And Maddie wears his heart on his sleeve. He's very honest. And that is why in the first issue, when Captain Terrific snaps at him, he kind of doesn't know how to take it. He really doesn't. He's like, oh my God, I've never seen this guy snap at me before. So I really don't know what to do with this. And, you know, a little bit of this is, we all lose our innocence when we're reading superheroes. Like, we all do. Like, it's that moment when you learn that movies and comic books and stuff are made by real people. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't just magically pop into life. And for Maddie, that's very similar.
Yeah. And the other aspect of it is, you know, beyond that journey that Maddie's taken in, and you already talked a little bit about how they sort of complement each other, and hopefully they both go on a journey of growth and kind of borrow the best parts of each other and become more complete people amongst themselves. But it's also so relevant to the social media age that we live in, because this is exactly what people would be doing.
Yeah.
If there were real superheroes, people would be out there trying to, hey, who can get the most views, who can, you know, monetize it and what have you. And we, you know, touched on a little bit earlier, there's that anonymity aspect where people will say anything on the, it's kind of the toxic side. So mm-hmm. I find it interesting that you're starting from a tone of being real innocent, but you seem to want to examine sort of the worst parts about social media and what does that say in terms of, you know, superheroes and relationships and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I will say that issue two will deal a little bit with this argument that I have a problem with. There is specifically with a character that Jason and I both love, Superman, there is the argument of trunks or no trunks. And there was even an argument with the most recent Justice League movie about should Superman wear red and blue or should Superman wear black, which is the real Superman. And I watched fandom in both those arguments literally tell the other side of fandom that X version was not the real Superman. Like black suit Superman is not the real Superman. Colored suit Superman is not the real Superman. Superman with trunks is not the real Superman. Superman without trunks is not the real Superman. And you're like, guys, it's all Superman.
Yeah.
It's all Superman. So I will tease a little bit that if and when we fund, hopefully when, I'm going to put it out in the universe, there is a bit in issue two where Terrific is going to change his costume and you're going to see fandom not react positively to that, even though he is exactly the same man.
It harkens back to when he went electric blue Superman, which you and I both love.
Oh man, I do.
People losing their minds. Did anybody think for even a second that Warner Brothers wasn't going to go back to their, you know, billion-dollar property and have him be the recognizable Superman?
Yeah, it's so funny. I love that design, first off. Like I have fondness for that era, even though I know it's not the greatest. But I have a fondness for that era. But I agree. Like I always knew it was a temporary thing. And I knew that because when I started reading comics, I started reading comics for the death of Superman. And when they killed Superman, that was my first comic book. I actually thought he was dead. So when they brought him back, I was like, oh, okay. So nothing's going to be permanent. Got it. Because if the death is not permanent, nothing else will be.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good lesson.
I honestly, as a kid, man, I thought the other four Supermen were the new Superman. I was like, man, Clark Kent's never coming back.
And it's so funny too, to hear Dan and those guys that were in the room talk about it, how they were just starting to run out of ideas and, you know, yep. Finally.
Let's just kill him. I think it's Jerry Ordway is the famous one who said it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was how they always would start their summits. Somebody, anybody have any ideas? Oh, we're kind of running out. Let's just kill him.
Yeah. Let's just kill him.
And so, and the story as Dan tells it is, so they were planning on marrying him off to Lois and they were going to have that coincide at the same time that he got married on the Lois and Clark TV show. And then they pushed the Lois and Clark TV show, pushed their storyline back. So they had to come up with an idea on the fly, like, okay, it's going to be longer before they get married on TV. So it's going to be longer before we marry him in the comics.
Yeah.
Anybody have any idea? Let's just kill him.
Let's just kill him. And I will say also,
they actually went with it.
Yeah. And it made one of the greatest Superman stories of all time. And it brought people like me into Superman because they covered that in the local news. I also will tease listeners as well. Every 22 pages, you're going to get like a new subtitle. Because I love that idea of Silver Age story. And I will say that the subtitle of issue two for the next campaign is called Death of a Super Best Friend.
Oh, man. I hope we get like Maddie's shirt on a like stick, like blowing in the wind.
Oh, that might be really good.
I'm really looking forward to it, Jason. I mean, you totally whet my appetite letting me read the first half of the first issue. So
thanks, dude. I'm so glad you liked it.
Yeah, it was great. It even exceeded. I mean, I knew it was kind of be my thing, being that Superman's my guy, but it even exceeded my expectations. I love the tone, like I said, the innocent tone, and knowing that it's going to get, you know, more complex, and you're going to build on that as it goes along. As we're kind of wrapping up here, is there anything else that you want listeners to know?
All I would say is that if you are a fan of superhero comic books, you're a fan of Superman, you're a fan of Jimmy Olsen, I would say even if you're a fan of the Arrowverse, Super Best Friend is going to be catnip for you. And I would also say that, like Jace is probably, if you're a fan of this podcast, then you definitely know this lesson, that independent comic books are truly a labor of love. Nobody goes into comic books to make money. We go into it because we like desperately want to make a comic book. And so if anything I've said to you today, if I seem interesting to you or if I bored you, that's fine. Come over to superbestfriendcomic.com and just take a gander. I think you might really like it.
Yeah. And I'll say this, you know, as someone who knows Jason personally, it isn't just that he wants to make a comic book and just that he loves these stories. He wants to share the stories. We all have stories in our life and we like telling stories and meeting people and talking about ourselves. And for a creative like Jason, this is a way for him to do that, right? To share a story that he loves and he's put his heart into, and he wants to put it out there and let us all enjoy it. So definitely go, at the very least, go click the link in the show notes, check out the campaign. Even if you don't think it's for you, or you're not in a place right now to be able to fund, like Jason said earlier, just share it on social media, because every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps, man. Well said. Thank you, man.
Why don't you let everybody know where they can find you online, and give us a plug for your podcast, Geek History Lesson, which everybody should also be listening to.
Oh, yeah. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. And every single week, I co-host a podcast called Geek History Lesson, where we discuss a character or a construct of pop culture and tell you everything you need to know about him in a little bit less than an hour. And I think the week this episode's coming out, we're actually doing best Superman stories to kind of fit in with the tone of Super Best Friend.
I'm definitely looking forward to that one then. Okay, well, Jason, again, best of luck with the Kickstarter. Everybody, as you're listening to this, it's going to be released on Wednesday. The Kickstarter started the day before, so Tuesday. It's live now. Please click the link in the show notes. Go and check it out, or just do a search for Super Best Friend Kickstarter or superbestfriendcomic.com.
Yes, we'll take you directly there.
Directly there. So again, Jason, hey, great to see you. Great to catch up. Hope you and Ashley are doing well.
We are. Thank you so much, Jace, again. It's always a blast.
Yeah, it's always great to have you on. So, and listeners, want to thank you for listening as always, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.